The chaos in Scotland continues economically, politically, and legally. Welcome to Constable Confidential. I'm Simon Constable. Joining us again, Alan Quinn from Glasgow. He's an entrepreneur, a company director, and lots of other things, and he's really smart, and he's going to shed light on what is going on. Thanks for joining us, Alan.
Thanks, Simon.
Let's start with the flip-flop on the parking charges, or I should say the near flip-flop. Recap us on what happened, and then we'll talk further.
Yeah, sure. Well, this was relating specifically to Glasgow City Council, which is the biggest city in Scotland. And they're SNP-run council, Scottish National Party-run council, and they were looking to introduce parking fees after 6 p.m., which traditionally there hasn't been any parking cost after 6 p.m., apart from maybe some very small pockets of places across the city. But in general, you know, you can drive into the city and it's free parking after 6 o'clock. You can enjoy all the pubs and restaurants and cinema and everything else that you do in the city centre. And, you know, they're quite expert at introducing new taxes in Scotland. It's like a full-time job for everybody in the public sector. And they were looking to introduce these charges, which really would have decimated, or really seriously could have decimated the business in the city centre, along with everything else that's happening, like the low emission zone. And there was a business rates relief that wasn't passed on to businesses in Glasgow and the rest of Scotland. And all of these additional costs were coming out of COVID, inflation. I mean, it's just a disaster. It's a real storm for small businesses. And then Glasgow decided, let's introduce a parking after 6 p.m., chargeable parking, which all the businesses were really up in arms about. I mean, that has been ongoing now for some months. There's been a huge backlash to it. Anybody related to Glasgow and any Glasgow business, there's been petitions and all sorts of letters to senior politicians and the councillors, etc. And thankfully, I mean, an ounce of good news is that they haven't cancelled it, but what they've said is they've listened to the concerns of businesses and they're going to keep it under review. But at the same time, they say they're going to give businesses time to adjust because apparently they're looking to get a greater living population in the city centre, and if that happens, then there probably will be too many cars, and at that point maybe they do need to review it, but certainly not just now. So in summary, Simon, they were going to introduce the charges. Thankfully they haven't introduced them, and they said that it's been delayed and will remain under review. It still leaves that uncertainty for the businesses, which isn't great.
Do they understand that businesses loathe uncertainty about regulations? They'd rather know them now for sure. What is the tax rate going to be? What are the regulations? And that they will persist for a while in their current form, and that it won't change week by week. Does the SNP City Council know that?
They say they know it, but they also say they're committed to some more to supporting small and medium-sized businesses. And I don't know of one single policy that Glasgow City Council has introduced that helps stimulate business and support small and medium-sized businesses. So what they say, what they do are very different things. But as a good alternative example, in Aberdeen, they have, which is the north of Scotland, they have confirmed that they are introducing £1 parking charges after 5 p.m. So it's a £1 fee for any time after, you know, it's a token amount of money. And usually parking stops at 6 p.m. in Glasgow. If they'd said, right, from 5 p.m. you pay £1 and you're there all night, if they thought that was going to generate more money, then, you know, I think everybody would have been quite comfortable with that, because it's bringing it back to 5 p.m., which you would normally pay about £5 for parking between 5 and 6 p.m., and making that £1. But also in Aberdeen, they have agreed to provide 2 years rent and rates free for long-term vacant units, in addition to about, I think it's £500,000 empty shop grant scheme. So these are positive, constructive things that's been offered to Aberdeen businesses. In Glasgow, it's all about charges, restrictions, penalties, fines. That's their approach. It's all stick. There's no carrot.
Wow, that is pretty brutal. And it's also a brutal comparison. Aberdeen doing something very positive. Glasgow, obviously not doing anything very positive. Now we have other news from Scotland, which is fascinating. New laws came in on April the 1st, really strange day to bring anything new in that's controversial. It's a hate crime law, and it involves transgender people as well as lots of other categories. And it's quite controversial. And J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter series and lots of other things, she said, "Come and arrest me," to the police. Explain what's going on.
Yeah, this is a, I mean, this is brings Scotland to the forefront of world chat when you've got Elon Musk and Joe Rogan, the famous podcaster in America, talking about Scotland relating to a new government policy. You really know you're in trouble. It's embarrassing, I think, for everybody in Scotland, talking personally. But J.K. Rowling has been an absolute superstar supporter for women's rights and ensuring that women's safe spaces are maintained. And there is definitely an issue in the UK relating to transgender identity and self ID, gender self ID, which means you can change from a man to a woman or request specific pronouns be used, etc., etc. And J.K. Rowling has been a staunch supporter for women's rights. This new hate crime, which is an embarrassment and has been brought in by this SNP and Green government, really extends laws to criminalise people who are deemed to have initiated something, some ill will, or express some clear malice towards somebody from one of these protected groups. And the protected groups are disability, race, religion, sexual orientation, and transgender rights.
And
So if
it does not include women, misogyny.
it doesn't.
Hating women is not included in this at all yet. And this has been in the works for quite a while. Is that correct? This could have been amended and women had been tucked in there.
Yeah, I mean, this hate crime bill was approved 3 years ago, and I think, quite frankly, nobody really could believe it at the time when you were hearing about it. And you really hoped that within that period from being approved to being enacted, which was on the 1st of April, ironically, yesterday, then you hoped it would have been changed. But as per usual, SNP Green, they really don't listen to anybody. They think they are, the fountain of all knowledge. They know better. And it's been brought in. It's deemed doesn't even have to be proven. In fact, it doesn't even need to be you that suffered any hatred. If I just happen to see somebody speaking to somebody else in a bar and deem that to be a hate crime, then I can report it. And the police have made this amazing commitment. They will investigate any reported hate crime as if they've not got enough to do. Real crime on the streets and burglaries and car theft and everything else. It's quite amazing.
It is reminiscent of the stories I've heard about Eastern Germany when Germany was ununited, and also the Nazi period in Germany. Not that any mass killings are going on right now by the government, but it does seem to encourage snitching. Can we go back a little bit in history? Is that there was a big controversy about men who'd been convicted of rape being put in women's prison because they identified as being a trans woman. I hope I've got the terminology correct there. But do you remember when that came out? And that seemed to be ridiculous. And I did know that J.K. Rowling spoke out at that time. What are you hearing from people in the community about that, or what were you hearing? Because I think that's a pivotal thing that was ignored by the government.
Yeah, I mean, this self-gender ID really meant that at the 11th hour, when a convicted rapist, realized that he was going to be getting sentenced, decided to change his gender from male to female. And the SNP were supportive that this now self-gendered ID person, rapist, should go to a women's prison. And there was an absolute uproar about that. And it really led to the downfall of Nicola Sturgeon. And I think non-independent supporters, I include myself in that, hope that this new hate crime stems the end of Humza Yousaf, to be honest with you. But yeah,
And
they've
he's
been
the
able.
first minister of Scotland for everyone listening in the US. And he took over from Nicola Sturgeon, who was the first minister after Alex Salmond, who was
That's
the
right.
founder of the Scottish National Party and goes back quite a long way and really dedicated a lot of time to getting the party going when he left St Andrews
He did.
University. That is fascinating. Let's move on to actually Humza Yousaf, because you have some thoughts about him and what he's been doing lately, which doesn't appear to be exactly running the country.
Yeah, he seems to be just now, a lot of people are saying, Humza Yousaf, the first minister of Gaza and occasionally Scotland. He really has a focus
Now
elsewhere in the
he
world.
has relatives in Gaza, to be fair.
He did have relatives in Gaza and he miraculously got out of Gaza after a trip from Humza Yousaf's wife to Turkey, and they miraculously appeared in Turkey. There does seem to be influence. He's using his global contacts, let's say, and his position as Scotland's first minister to help his own family members. But his current job seems to be spending 100% of his time searching for his next job. He really is, traveling around the world. He went to Qatar for a week's holiday, apparently, to Qatar with his wife. And this is the man that's forever going on about the climate emergency and the need for Westminster to give more money. We need more money because of the climate emergency. And then he jumps in a plane with his wife and goes to Qatar for a week's holiday. Qatar, which obviously has strong links to Hamas, apparently. The leaders, the billionaire leaders of Hamas, live in Qatar. And he went there for a week. He's also, as I said, his wife had met the Turkish Prime Minister. And only last week, there was a secret meeting with a Jordanian ambassador in Humza Yousaf's residence in Edinburgh, Bute House. So it seems to be that he's got his focus on where will he get his next job. I would be astonished if he gets a job in Scotland. I really, really would be. I think he doesn't have. He doesn't seem to have a specific career as such or any real skill that is of value to anybody. And his grip on his strength of his grip on his role in the Scottish government is only matched by his unemployability when he leaves it.
And we know that he has very, very minimal private sector experience. And it does look like the Scottish National Party in Scotland will take a beating at the Scottish Parliament election. And we're also probably going to see a bit of a drubbing during the general election, which should happen this year at some point. Now, one of the other things going on in Scotland is there's going to be a lifting of the rent control that was temporarily put in. What's happened there? Because I've always said that rent control doesn't work. So what's happening this month,
Yeah, well,
as you understand it?
this is quite close to me because I'm involved in property businesses, and this is something that I'm familiar with. But basically, they introduced an emergency bill about 18 months ago, which meant you were limited to what increase in rent you could ask from a tenant. During a period of high inflation, during a period where interest rates shot up from near zero to over 5%. And the Scottish government basically said, right, well, you cannot charge more than 3% in any 12-month period. And they also put cancellation on any evictions. No eviction orders could be submitted during that time, or at least enacted during an 18-month period. And that really frightened the whole market. It scared off an enormous amount of investment in build-to-rent projects in Scotland. I mean, we're talking about billions of pounds that were just cancelled literally overnight. That you just, everybody was shocked that they were introduced. But what's now happening, and this is driven by a housing minister, Patrick Harvey, who's the Green MSP, a Green MSP in the Scottish Parliament, and with all of that scared investment, with all of the chat that's gone on and the criticism of it, rather than thinking, right, this is not helping because so many landlords have left the market that there's now a few, very little supply and available of rented properties. that Patrick Harvey has a double down on this, and he's now introducing a new housing bill, which is going to make it even more difficult for a landlord to evict a non-paying tenant or an anti-social tenant. And you know, it really is. This is not going to encourage investment from the private sector anywhere, whether a small-scale private investor, arguably like myself, or you know, corporate investors looking to come in and build hundreds of new houses. What we need in Scotland, just across the UK, actually, is more homes. It couldn't be more simple. We need to build more homes. It's the only thing you can try and pretend that by restricting the market here, you know, avoiding any evictions here, is going to change things. It will not. It will just make it worse. And the headline for this new bill is preventing homelessness and strengthening tenants' rights. Well, it might strengthen some tenants' rights, those who don't pay their rent, etc. But this will certainly not prevent homelessness. This will provide a polar opposite.
And this again brings up that issue about understanding economics and understanding business. In this case, I don't think there is an example of rent control working anywhere in the world for very long at all. It certainly didn't work in New York. It was a disaster there, and they've been slowly getting rid of that since World War II. And there are still a few rent controlled apartments there, which, you know, are much sought after. But also, San Francisco has problems with rent control. We've seen it in other places. We're seeing it being a disaster here. And now we're looking at landlords saying, okay, well, I've got to catch up now, but maybe I've got to catch up more than catch up. Maybe I've got to go a bit further because I don't know when the new rules, when new rules will come back and I won't be able to increase the rents on anything. Is
Yeah,
that your
well,
understanding too? Is that is
it's,
like,
I
oh
mean,
my
it's,
goodness, I've got to put it up like 100% or something
I
because.
mean, no, nobody wants to do this about the market rate. If there was more homes, then that levels out the market, supply and demand. Because so many landlords have left the sector, so they've sold up and they've left, just means that there's a tiny amount of properties now available for rent. So when those properties come on the market, you've got 100 people showing an interest in renting that property. So the price goes up. Now, what Patrick Harvey is looking to do is to basically stop large increases in rent in between tenancies, because lots of landlords have not been in the habit of putting up the rent on an annual basis. And I'm certainly one of them. Used to review rents every 3 to 5 years, because we were living in a low inflation rate environment and interest rates were low. But all of a sudden, when you've got interest rates at you know, going up 14 months in a row to 5% or thereabouts, and you've got inflation at running at 10% for best part of 2 years, then that has a huge impact. And what's happened is landlords in Scotland have not been allowed to recognise those cost increases and increase rents by a reasonable amount. It started off, we weren't allowed to reduce, increase them at all. It then went to a maximum cap of 3%. So what it means now is when a tenant leaves a property and you're searching for a new tenant, the rents are rising by 20, 30%. And what this new bill is saying, oh, now you cannot do that. So all this is happening is going to mean that landlords will almost certainly now put up the rent every single year. Every single year they'll put them up. And that's the landlords that stay in the market. But even the landlords that are in the market, it's clear that there's not enough rented homes available. You need to build more homes.
And
And
getting to the building thing, one thing I know from having lived in Edinburgh is that it's very hard to do anything, and that includes changing the color of your front door to something that might seem outrageous. So if you wanted a bright yellow front door, that would probably get you in trouble with the planning authorities, which seems ridiculous when we know that there is a housing shortage across the whole UK. You would think that that would be fairly low on the
yeah.
priority list. The priority list should be getting more homes. What, why is it, and why is it happening that way? Why is it so restricted to
Yeah.
build a new home when you have all these people needing more space?
Yeah, well, there is a the planning system across Britain is broken. I think I've never heard anybody deny that. It is a broken system. There are just so many the time scales involved in doing it, so many hoops to jump through. The cost of it becomes so much higher with all of these hoops to jump through that by the time you actually get planning permission, the chances of building affordable homes on the land is highly unlikely. I've actually got a planning application in just now, and the target from the council is to give you a decision within 22 weeks, which in itself is what, 5 months or so. I'm in week 86. So the system just does not work. The planning system is draconian. There's a lot of power-hungry planners out there who, quite frankly, seem to think their job is to say no because it will bring more coffers into the council. The more they say no, the more you have to spend. So for me, it's a conflict of interest in so many areas, and somebody needs to step in from a government perspective and identify areas of ground that they should be allowed to build homes, and they need to do it quickly.
One thing I learned in America was the huge benefits of building upwards. I having skyscrapers, and that's usually for office buildings, but also having tall buildings for residential apartments or flats, whatever we want to call them. Is that something that could work in the UK? It is a small island in the North Atlantic. Certainly small compared to America, but building up is also very efficient in terms of heating. So keeping a
I
place.
think there's no doubt that you have to maximize the land that is available for building homes, i.e. close to schools and hospitals and jobs and the transport, etc. Building up makes perfect sense. The one thing we're not short of in Scotland is spare land. I mean, there is land everywhere. It's there should be no problem in Scotland finding land to build houses, whether they're skyscrapers or not. It's just the will is not there to get that done. And even in this budget, the housing budget from Scotland just in February there, they slashed £200 million from the housing budget. So rather than ramping up spending for more houses, they're actually reducing it. It just seems absolutely crazy. And I just hope that this hate crime, I hope that this hate crime means we have reached peak SNP and Green stupidity level. But you just never know with this government. They are so crazed. I don't know if anybody really understands what they're trying to achieve. Everything they seem to introduce provides a polar opposite effect to what they want.
It does seem that way. And if I didn't know any better, I would think it was made up, but we know that it isn't made up right now. What I want to ask you is you've just been through the winter in Glasgow, and I know how bleak and grey that can be. Are you now that you've got through Easter, the 4-day weekend of Easter, which I think is a fantastic European tradition, are you seeing some sunlight come through and are you
Some
enjoying
sun.
it?
I can confirm that Glasgow did see some sunlight over the weekend. Major event. Thank you, Simon, for reminding us out. Yes.
That is fantastic. I'm really glad that you've got that because that is something to really celebrate. The sun is very important, and that's why they used to worship the sun god. I guess that's where we get Sunday from. Thank you very much, Alan Quinn, entrepreneur, director of companies, and many other things. We appreciate your time. This is Constable Confidential. I'm Simon Constable, and that's it.